Thank you to all who make services like this possible, especially it takes a lot of coordination on Patrick's part. He's also playing the organ today, you might notice, as Mariko has a vacation day. And it's a joy to see all of your faces today as we think about commitment and what does it mean in 2018? Is it any different than it was back in the day of Joshua that we're going to read about today? In the pile of inserts that you have today, one of them, which is the script survey, so you don't have to look far. Helps if I look at all the inserts, right? So you can do the paper copy or do it online. Also, the yellow insert, want to make sure you check out our place as a hero of a mobile pack, and this is related to our Feed My Starving Children, and you can read more about that and what a great ministry it is around the world. We come to our Sunday school insert and want to make sure you realize that Sunday school starts again next Sunday with two classes for our adults and all of our children, and confirmation continues. Lastly, the blue insert, which is our outline for today to think about the scripture. Hopefully you read each day the passages that lead up to Sunday's sermon. It helps to put it all together. So take this home with you, and it's a great way for you as a family as well to have time of worship together. So we're going to read from the Old Testament, from Joshua. This is chapter 24, and we'll be reading from verses 1 through 15. The Word of God for us today. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan and made his offspring many. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I gave Esau the hill country of Seir to possess, but Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt with what I did in its midst, and afterwards I brought you out. When I brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you came to the sea, and the Egyptians pursued your ancestors with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. When they cried out to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did to Egypt. Afterwards, you lived in the wilderness a long time. And then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I handed them over to you, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then King Balak, son of Zippor of Moab, set out to fight against Israel. He sent and invited Balaam, son of Beor, to curse you, but I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he blessed you. So I rescued you out of his hand. When you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I handed them over to you. I sent the hornet ahead of you, which drove out before you the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and towns that you had not built, and you live in them. You eat the fruit of the vineyards and olive yards that you did not plant. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. God, we know that we come from different places today. Our stories are unique because you've created us with all different gifts. And so, God, as we think about Joshua and these words to us to make a choice, we ask that you would help us to open our minds, to perhaps do away with those thoughts that might be cynical or doubting, and instead to put our faith in you, our one God who loves us. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. So when you think about this book of Joshua, if you went to Sunday school when you were little, you might remember singing Joshua fit the battle of Jericho, right? And the walls came tumbling down. I'm not going to sing it because obviously I sing too much, according to my dear husband. I think there's a sense in all of us in which we want right over wrong, right? We want justice in this world. Even in our own little bubble, we seek things to be right, things to be just. One of the hardest conversations we have with children is when they say to us, you know, life, it's not fair. It's not fair that I studied so hard and I still didn't do well. It goes into adulthood, right? We have this sense. If we work hard, look at Drew Brees this week. He set this record, right? The most yards ever passed, quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. And what did he say to his kids? Work hard. Work hard. There's nothing wrong with that principle for life of working hard. But Joshua wants us to think about in the sense of what has God done for you lately, right? He's reminding us, you could have skipped all of the past Sundays and right in this passage heard all of our sermons. God's reminding us about Abraham and Jacob and the ways in which the Israelites have been delivered. Last Sunday we talked about being free from so that we can be free for God's kingdom each and every day. Joshua calls this session meeting, we might call it, to rally the troops, to renew their covenant between God, themselves, to remind them whose child they are. Joshua knows that this is his farewell to these beloved children of God that he's heard complain. He's heard their suffering. And he wants them to know that God is with them wherever they are. God's delivered them to a land that they did not even harvest, right? Or they're reaping the harvest. So the question becomes, God chose us. Now do we choose God? Put your whole self in to this journey. It's not like the hokey pokey, right, that we learn as a child. Put your right arm in, shake it all about. It's, are you ready to put your whole soul to commit to building this kingdom of God? We know in this culture, you hear me say it pretty much every Sunday, that we are in the minority as Christians. Slowly, we've lost the sense in our culture of how important it is to be in church, to worship God, to make it a faithful part of our lives. I read an amusing countdown list of 10 reasons why people don't go to church. Number 10. The pastor doesn't respond to my remote control. Number 9, 3 letters NFL. Number 8, I don't have kids yet. Number 7, I have kids. Number 6, people that happy just give me the creeps. Number 5, this wouldn't be as true for Presbyterians. Last time I kneeled, I had a hard time getting up again. Number 4, I'm a good person, and I want to avoid hearing otherwise. Number 3, I prefer Doritos to those little crackers they pass out. And number 2, when I want to feel guilty, I can just call my mother. And the number 1 reason that people don't go to church is all of the above. And I don't need church to know that God cares for me. That's probably true. You can certainly have home church. You can come up with ways to worship. But what's missing is the connection that we have with each other. That's what we're committing to when we fill out our pledge card. We're committing to the children that we baptize here, and we make a vow that's just as important as the vows that are made here at the altar in marriage. We make a commitment to love and to nurture these children and to provide for them. I have a gift that was given to me from Betty Klein, who's our historian. It's the service program that was handed out on May 25th, 1958, when this sanctuary was built. It's got some great black and white pictures in it. But I want to read to you the dedication in this. Think about our own hearts of dedication. Thou whose unmeasured temple stands, built over earth and sea, accept the walls that human hands have raised, O God, to thee. Lord, from thine inmost glory send, within these courts to bide, the peace that dwelleth without end, serenely by thy side. May erring minds that worship here be taught the better way, and they who mourn and they who fear be strengthened as they pray. May faith grow firm and love grow warm and pure devotion rise, while round these hallowed walls the storm of earth-born passion dies. I read that last line many times. While round these hallowed walls, the storm of earth-born passion dies. It's exactly what this passage from Joshua is telling us. There are so many gods in our life. Passions that the earth tells us we have to have. I don't know how many of you have ventured to the movie theater lately to see the chick flick, A Star is Born. It's the 4th attempt to make this movie about 2 singers who fall in love. The music is all original. If you've read much about it, you know that there's this sense in which the lyrics speak so much to our life today. The words say, "Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world? Or do you need more? Is there something else you're searching for? Tell me something, boy. Aren't you tired of trying to fill that void? Or do you need more? Ain't it hard keeping it so hardcore?" I can't tell you how gut-wrenching it was to watch this movie, to see these two people so talented, so gifted, so driven, and yet so lost. And you don't have to go to the movies, right? To see people whose lives are pursuing false gods. And it comes down to letting go of the stereotypes of Christians. It comes down to letting go of that cynical nature. Oh, the church. But rather to embrace the church, to embrace Christ, who even with all of the complaining of the Israelites, with all of the ways in which they didn't choose God, God continued to be faithful to them. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Fred Craddock. He's a great, great preacher who passed away in 2015, just as he was nearing 87 years old. He was born in Tennessee, and he grew up with a father who was an alcoholic, who put a lot of pressure on his son. This story especially impacted me, and I want you to think about maybe that person in your life who struggles with commitment. Maybe it's yourself. Think about this story in light of our own hearts. Craddock writes, "My mother took us to church and Sunday school. My father didn't ever go. He complained about Sunday dinner being late when she would come home from church. Sometimes the preacher would call on us, and my father would say, 'I know what the church wants. Church doesn't care about me. Church wants another name on the roll. Another pledge, another name, another pledge, right? Isn't that the name of it? Another name, another pledge, church?' My mother in the kitchen was always nervous and in fear of his flaring temper, that somebody might be hurt. And always my father would say, 'You know that church, it doesn't care about me. The church just wants another name, another pledge.' I guess I heard it 1,000 times. One time, though, he didn't say it. He was in the veterans hospital, and he was down to 73 pounds. They had taken out his throat, and they told him it's too late. They put in a metal tube and x-rays that burned him. I flew in to see him. He couldn't speak, couldn't eat. I looked around the room, and there were potted plants and cut flowers on all of the windowsills, a stack of cards 20 inches deep beside his bed. And even that tray where they put food, if you can eat, on that was a flower in a vase. And all of the flowers beside the bed, every card, every blossom, were from persons or groups from the Another Name, Another Pledge church. He watched me as I read the cards. He could not speak, so he took a Kleenex box and he wrote on the side of it a line from Shakespeare. If he had not written the line, I would not tell you the story. But he wrote, 'In this harsh world, draw your breath in pain to tell my story.' I said, 'What is your story, Daddy?' And he wrote on the box, 'I was wrong. I was wrong. This world is a hurting place. God sent his son to heal what's hurting in us. The church, was created for us to heal and to live together. Thank you. Thank you for being a part of the kingdom of God. Take that step. Take that step of trust. Trust in a God who loves us faithfully. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for all those who've gone before us, who've sacrificed to build this place so that we can become stronger in our commitment, so that we know we belong to you and to each other, and most of all, that we can believe in you as our sustainer, the one who gives us not just any old life, but an abundant life. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.